I have just recited a hadith of Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam in your service, and the objective, the purpose to read this hadith in reality is this. The first point from everything is that the light and nur of the hadith for us human beings is that it enlightens our hearts, because these are those words that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated from his blessed words, from his blessed statements, and they passed through the time and the age, through the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions. They were protected in the kitabs, and alhamdulillah, we are fortunate that we have heard these words in the same way. So the biggest thing is this, that to reach to these words is very enlightening. To attain these words, it's very enlightening. And secondly, it's obvious that such a reward, for the reward for such a great virtue and listening to these words will be massive. And this is the majlis, the gathering of dhikr that we've attained. And there's a lot of thawab and reward that Allah Ta'ala has put into our destiny, alhamdulillah. To listen to the hadith, to read the hadith and to listen to the hadith, a person is not left without any reward. Rather, there is a lot of reward. And the third benefit from listening to the hadith is that it gives a person encouragement towards amal and action. That, for example, if we speak about amal in the discussion and then we practice that and we implement that, then in that, due to the barakah of the hadith and the virtue of the hadith, then we get taqwa, increase in taqwa. And it's obvious that the purpose of having such majalis and gatherings and getting together and sitting down is this, that if we have a gap or something lacking in our amal, in our deeds, then when we get the assistance and the encouragement of the words of the hadith, that gives us light and nur and encouragement and a drive towards amal and taqwa, strengthening of the amal. And if there's somebody who's not practicing, then due to the barakah of this, then a person feels it is easy to go towards the actions, to go towards the deeds. So a person listens and hears. So both things, alhamdulillah, are an assistant and strengthening factor for a mu'min's iman. It cannot be that a person has iman and he hears the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith is presented to him or her, and in pure words, and it's presented to him, the hadith, or to her, then it cannot be that that person, their heart or their mind doesn't accept or understand, or they do not say that we should practice. They will not say that. And this hadith, especially now, we come towards it, that I've presented to you, there's another enlightening factor in this, is that this hadith is a hadith al-Qudsi. In other words, these are those words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself has given directly to us, His own words. And their effect and content is very beautiful, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has Himself told His own words to His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not in words, rather alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has caught, Allah ta'ala has delivered these words direct to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so 70,000 veils were dropped. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken to the court of Allah, to the presence of Allah. 70,000 veils were dropped. And when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there, Allah ta'ala gave this message. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah, you made somebody Safiullah, somebody, another from the prophets, another prophet you made Kaleem Allah, another prophet you made Khalilullah, another Zabiullah, another prophet Ruh Allah. So for me, what is there, Allah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated that for you is that you are Habib Allah. You are the beloved of Allah. So this is that title. That's why I said to you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected His words and stated His words and given them to His Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then His Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered those words to His Habib to Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, who narrated this hadith, and he was a great and beloved individual and personality in Sahabi, and there are many events about him, and he narrated the most hadith. And then when Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu states the hadith, then definitely these words will reach to those individuals who have some love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like us, alhamdulillah. So this is a great gift. Look at this. Otherwise, these hadith that is being mentioned, how many people are here? There's you here, mashallah, those people through whom others listen. So this is a selected thing. So this is continuing in a sequence. Allah Ta'ala gave to his Habib, and Rasulullah SAW gave to his Habib, and his Habib gave to the hadith to other people who want to listen. And how fortunate are those people who receive this hadith Qudsi that is being presented to us. So this hadith is beautiful, so its subject must be beautiful, isn't it? It must be beloved, it must have a lot of life in it, a lot of vigor in it. And through this chain of narration, the hadith, this subject has reached to us. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu narrates in this hadith. Allah Ta'ala, in the hadith Qudsi, said, Yaqulu. Allah Ta'ala states, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah has stated, Yaqulu. And Rasulullah SAW is then giving us the message, Ana ma abdihi. وَهُوَ ذَكَرَنِي That when my servant does dhikr, when my servant does dhikr, remembers me, then I am with my servant. Allah Ta'ala says, great hadith. This is great hadith. In this hadith, there is a beautiful and really strong point that Allah Ta'ala has given a big gift to the human being. That if we take the whole dunya and the universe, if you put everything to one side, all of the gifts and ni'mas, then this ni'mah to the other side, the ni'mah that's mentioned in this hadith, even then there will be no equality. This ni'mah will overweigh everything else, if you think about it. This is such a great ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala has given, a reward. What is this reward? The ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala has given, the reward, is that Allah Ta'ala has given the reward of association, being close. Allah Ta'ala says, I will be close to that man or that woman. Allah Ta'ala says, I am close to that man or woman, that servant. So to be close, Allah Ta'ala is always close, isn't He, with this creature? Allah Ta'ala says, I am with my creation. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm close to you. So everyone's equal there. But the person who's mentioned in this hadith is that Allah Ta'ala is given a special, selected, specific association that not everybody has this. Not everybody has this. This, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I will be close, or my qurb will be with that person, association. This is not different to that one. So Allah Ta'ala says separately that I am close to everybody. But here in this hadith, the subject matter here, Allah Ta'ala says specifically, especially I am close with my servant. And to know this, to attain this, to enjoy this, there are no words to describe. And this, the taste of this, the feeling of this, the experience of this, only that person can realize, alhamdulillah, who has this close association with Allah. Let me tell you this. Only those people know the feeling of that. There's normality who have closeness, who are with Allah, normal people who they have those situations, the problems and distress and ups and downs, obstacles in life, the distresses, etc. The same fikr, the same worry, the same poverty, the same difficulties, the same house, the same outside, the same inside. And you cannot see physically that due to this closeness they got kingdoms or wealth or got unique things or the things that were stopping and there were restrictions in life, they started to go smoothly. Such a big thing to have Allah Ta'ala's closeness. What is it? It's the same life. They have the same life. The people are close with Allah. Outwardly, externally, everything looks the same. Muhabbat Allah is yours. So there's a poem, a couplet I remember, with regards to Allah, that in your love, O Allah, my heart is enlightened, subhanAllah. But on the tongue, there is no complaint. The person who is lost and drowned in Allah Ta'ala's love, He has no time for complaint. I don't have this item. I don't have that item. I need this. I don't want wealth. I don't need this. This is less or this is too much. I need more. This is the special closeness with Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. Special closeness. So those people who have the closeness, that is their situation. And their condition is such. Their condition is such. As I said, that the heart in your love Allah, the heart is immersed. The heart is full of your love, Allah, and there's no other desire that comes into it. Just like in water, if you put the water into the glass and it's full, then no more water can go into it, can it? So they say, Allah, there's no more room left in my heart except for your love, that my heart is drowning in your love. It's full of your love. I'm enjoying your love. So there's no room left for anything else, Allah, because your love is already into my heart. And when you see this, that we see the things around us, the restrictions, the obstacles, everything, it is stated that my tongue doesn't have the strength that it complains or criticizes or moans or groans. This is your mercy, Allah, and your generosity that you've given me everything. Subhanallah, what is the maqam of that person who has this? So this is called ma'iyyat, special ma'iyyat, special, specific, close association with Allah that Allah Ta'ala has given to the believing men and women. If I start speaking in the history, then the same events of the awliya Allah will come. Such women and men and people who came and passed and prospered in this field. So the people who attain this hadith, just like I said, that this hadith has come to us and reached to us, and we realize that there's such a gift in the world. We think that the world, I get this and I get this rich and this wealth, I become successful in this, or A, B, or C. This is reward for us, isn't it? But when we realize that there's another reward, na'amah, which has a unique element to it, then what did those people say historically? Then they changed their life, improved their life, and focused their life towards this gift in this hadith. When Allah Ta'ala is mentioning in this hadith, the great word, anama abdihi, Allah Ta'ala says, I am close with my creation as long as he continues to remember me. That's it. So they grab hold of the key. We here as well. But it comes in, we got problems, someone's doing this, someone's saying this, someone's looking at that. Alhamdulillah. But the people who listen and don't take the message, they were animals and they will pass away like animals. Weird person who Allah Ta'ala is opening, unraveling the secrets in the Quran and the Hadith. A big clue Allah Ta'ala is giving, that the person who does my dhikr, as long as he is alive and he does my dhikr and remembers me, anama. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm with my servant as long as the person continues to remember me. 5 minutes dhikr, 10 minutes dhikr, 1 hour dhikr, 2 hours dhikr, morning dhikr, evening dhikr, 10 hours dhikr, 10 tasbih. However capacity and he has ability, Allah Ta'ala says, my promise. وَهُوَ ذَكْرٍ Allah Ta'ala says, I'm with that person, and I'm abdihi, وَهُوَ ذَكْرٍ As long as that person's doing dhikr, this is hadith Qudsi, and it's reached to us. So the arifin, the people who became close to Allah, the awli Allah, great personalities like, mashallah, you brothers have the passion for dhikr, and you heard about dhikr and the praise. So when they heard this praise of dhikr, and they have nothing else that they can see in it, they said that we get the ma'iyat rabb, the closeness of our rabb, then if we attain that, what else do we need after that? So our niyyah should be such in dhikr on this platform that we don't need nothing from dhikr. What do we want? Allah Ta'ala's ma'iyat, Allah's closeness we want. Association. We want to be attached to Allah. All distresses will go. All problems will go. The heart will be wrapped in Allah Ta'ala's closeness. This should be our purpose for doing dhikr. This is the reason for doing dhikr. Now, as it's stated, there's a proverb that the ball is now in our court and we have to make the decision that how much closeness do we want with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? How much association do we want with Allah? How long do we want to stay with Allah? How long do we want the closeness to Allah to stay with us? How much do we want this reward to be accepted? Only that person will do it who has the appreciation, who has the value that this is a great reward. I shouldn't leave this in any condition. So what does that person do? He takes all of that this 4, 4, 5, 5, 6 hours, I don't have to do ibadah that long. The situation is such that if I become an ashik, I should become the ashik of Allah, such that not 1 minute should pass without me remembering my Lord. Every second my friend should be with me. Look at the ashik, the lover, and the person who he loves. She goes, hold on. You know when you love a friend? Oh, come on, sit down, let's have some tea. Oh, why are you leaving? Let's talk about that element or that factor or that. So he stops him time and time again. Time and time again. What's the reason? Because he has love with that person, isn't it? So, if a person has love with another person, so Allah Ta'ala says, stop, how much you can, you keep on doing dhikr, you keep on doing my dhikr, and I will stay with you, Allah Ta'ala says. I will stay with you, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. What a great favor Allah Ta'ala has given to His creation. Subhanallah. And it's not a big amal. It's not a big deal. Think, this hadith that I've mentioned, not a hard, difficult amal or action, just, what is this? Allah Ta'ala says, remember me, I'm with you. So when the people heard this, then they focused their lives, switched their lives towards this action. Then they didn't leave one second unturned. 1 second is a big amount of time. One breath of theirs did not exhale from their body without the remembrance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Tell me this. Not one breath could they imagine that they would breathe, inhale or exhale without Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. They couldn't imagine that I breathe in or breathe out without remembering Allah. And the people like us, human beings, less, mashallah, we have ease and comfort today, but they don't even have what we have. They didn't even have what we had. They had no demand that Allah, we're doing dhikr, or we should be walis of Allah now. We remember you so much. We should have this. Allah, we're remembering you, and this is not succeeding for us, and this is not succeeding for us. I'm not doing dhikr. I'm not attaining this or that. Thousands of games that we should finish all of the preconditions. So they understood the masala. The end of story. Look, how many breaths are there in life? There are limited number of breaths in life. They're not countless, they're not infinite. The breaths in our life have been counted and sealed, and they will be breathed and they will pass. So they said that every breath I have to breathe with Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, just one job I have in life, one job. They control themselves, they control their nafs. So Allah Ta'ala has brought us to this point. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Is this not enough? That Allah Ta'ala sat us in His home, in the masjid, and Allah has given us taqwiyatun amal. Alhamdulillah, you are mashallah striving, and you're struggling the morning and evening. You try, and now you've come and sat down as well. That this person came, buzur came, and Allah Ta'ala says, mashallah, that subhanallah, that I started to feel ashamed. That I'm sitting here, I'm nothing. And for these brothers, look at this great statement. Mashallah, I'm speaking in front of them and giving them this message, because this is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A normal person doesn't get this. Yes, that, oh, I breathed in, I sighed, I thought, oh, they're not coming today. I was worried about my tabiyat, and I was worried about your tabiyat, and that you should be fine. And he said, no, maybe you've gone out. I said, no, as long as the health is good. So you came straight away. So the words that you said, then inside me, then the honey went inside me. Subhanallah. The feeling and the emotion that I was waiting. I'm waiting for the dhikr of Allah. I'm waiting. So I ran towards the dhikr of the gathering. He said, why couldn't I reach to the gathering? Subhanallah. This is what you call love for the dhikr of Allah. Brother said this. So if the people like this, with this feeling, are inside, he said, the honey's inside me, the taste inside me, the experience for dhikr. Imagine what the hashar will be like. This is not showing off. This is not pride. Without any, I spoke openly and he spoke openly. This is how it should be. Thousands of excuses, we're going to do dhikr and it's difficult for me. And games, no. Should have, without any conditions, any criteria beforehand for Allah, we should say, I speak it openly in his mouth, openly in that person's face, that such a piece of good news for that person who loves dhikr so much. How much Allah Ta'ala must love that person? Tell me. May Allah Ta'ala make us like him as well, who has a great, great love for the dhikr of Allah. So every breath, our pious predecessors, they said, not a breath will be wasted without Allah's remembrance. What do we want with every breath? That Allah Ta'ala's ma'iyat, Allah's closeness, Allah's with us. We don't need anything else. That our mahbub should be with us, in our heart he should be. We should remember him all the time, and remember him, and practice, and do. The world will continue. Brothers, the world will continue. It will pass by. The world doesn't stop for anyone. And they don't look that my husband, Nur Allah Marqad, alhamdulillah, when I spent life with them, the life continued. Drinking, eating, going here, there, children's marriage here, going there, difficulties, problems. Once, in the letter, through the letter, Hazrat used to write and communicate with me, and he used to give me the message that my wife is ill and she's in hospital. I'm standing outside, no one's there to help, and I'm a heart patient. And he was 80 years old, 90 years old, and the daughters were ill, and there was no food to eat, there was nothing inside the house, and had thousands, tens of thousands of marines, people who he knew. But despite all this, Allah Ta'ala was with him. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala was with him. And this is the enjoyment. Hazrat Sahib, if somebody used to say something, then you'd realize that, what are you telling me, my friend? This is the enjoyment I'm getting in dhikr. But you have to obviously live the life physically in the world. You have to live the factors of life. You have to live through the world. And where does this stop? Illness will come, problems will come, hospital will come, cold, flu, children ill, problems, finances, etc. But that one promise we've made in our heart, Allah, we're not going to leave you. In every condition from our tongue, what's going to come out from our tongue, our heart? Allah, Allah, Allah. And those people who attain this secret, they become lofty personalities. Now in my mind, many people are coming. But from a knowledge basis, on a knowledge basis, there's no ilm here. There's a lot of knowledge around, but on a knowledge basis, I present to you an example. And it's a beautiful example, unique example for you, that such a person you won't see. And Hafiz Ibrahim Hajar, rahmatullahi, the ulama ikram are aware of him, what a maqam he had. What Hafiz Ibn Hajar, rahmatullahi, rahimahullah, he wrote the Sharah of Bukhari Sharif, the commentary of Bukhari Sharif, and such a Sharah commentary of Bukhari that nobody can, you can say, do the same work as he done. Such a Sharah commentary of Bukhari Sharif he had written. Now in that day and age when he wrote the Sharah, Hafiz Ibn Hajar, rahmatullah alayhi, what was his status? How many pens did he have? How many fans were there? How much ease was there? How much luxury and comfort was there? How much time did he have to write the Sharah of Bukhari Sharif, number one? And number two, what will be the situation within his life? What was the situation with this? The person who's writing, Qala Rasulullah, that nobody can write such a Sharah like that he did. Such a Sharah. Such a commentary, Hafiz Ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayh. So I'm giving an example from the worldly basis. Otherwise, if I start to go into depth, you will start to yawn and sleep. I will speak according to your understanding and passion of knowledge, the knowledge basis. So Hazrat Hafiz Ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayh, what was his status? I was amazed when I read and learnt about him. The Hafiz Ibn Hajar who wrote about hadith, when we sit down to write a letter to a friend, something, it takes all day, thousands of fussiness, bring a pen and a piece of paper and this and that. But Hazrat Ibn Hajar Asqalani, Hazrat Ibn Hajar, who wrote this Sharah of Bukhari Sharif, a normal person can't do this. Only a unique person can do this, who's in another world. Subhanallah. So his batin, subhanallah, was not with his physical body at that time. The Sharah of his Bukhari Sharif is so great. The world accepts that Hazrat Hafiz Ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi, the Sharah he did, the commentary he did, and the effect, the way he did it, the strength in it, and this ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala gave to him. This ni'mah, he used to read hadith, he used to write hadith, and he used to practice on the hadith. It wasn't just that he's listening to hadith, there's no amal. Reading and there's no practice. Listening, there's no practice. There was no such thing there. What did he have there is that if he even read a small hadith, he never considered it insignificant. So this was the key to his every success. So he had yaqeen and certainty. And how did he grab this? I will give you his example. So after thinking a lot, he couldn't understand that Ibn Hajar, what is it within him that he has written such a big Sharah, commentary of Bukhari Sharif, of Sahih Bukhari? What was his heart, his batin, his internal state, his life, and what ni'mah Allah Ta'ala must have sent to him? So we understand here. One event made me understand that how he was in that state that he did this tafsir of the Sharah Bukhari. Hafiz Ibn Hajar rahmatullah was writing the Sharah of Bukhari Sharif one day, and his pen broke. And you will have seen the pens in those days, what were they? They were like the fountain pens, you know, the ink pens that the people use for clivery. Yeah. So in Gujarati we use a certain word, it's not coming in my mind. So the qalam, the pens were made out of the material, and they used to use the knife to point, make the pen pointy, then they dip it into the ink to make it a pen, and then they used to write. So they used to sharpen the pen out of a material and then dip it in the ink and write. So when that pen drops or breaks, you have to make it again. You have to sharpen it again, and you have to dip into the ink again and write. So while he was writing, his pen broke. Then what did Hazrat Ibn Hajar Ramadhan do? He started to make his pen again. While he was making his pen, now look here at the point, the secret unraveled. That while he was sharpening and preparing the pen, then his condition was that with every breath, Allah, 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 Allah. Not one breath passed while he was making and sharpening his pen that Allah's name should not be uttered. And this was his secret. This was his secret. Why? What a big, big secret. We think this is nothing. Such a big secret. Ana ma abdihi, I am with my servant whenever he's working and doing my remembrance. So he's writing Bukhari Sharif commentary, and Allah's with him. Who's guiding him in writing the Sharah of Bukhari Sharif? Tell me. The abundance of dhikr was there that made his heart enlightened. Forget his chest, his heart. Ana ma, Allah says, whatever you're doing at that time, Allah says that specially I will be with that time, and I'm with you with a special association. So when Hazrat Ibn Hajar rahmatullah is doing the Sharah commentary of Bukhari, then Allah's closeness special was with him. And imagine the effect of that special closeness of Allah. Do you not understand what I'm saying? This is an example I've just given to you. So when we Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may He also give us tawfiq that we remember Allah all the time and Allah's rule comes on our heart. And you have reached there, mashallah. All you have to do is just focus a bit, do a bit of work that morning and evening. Forget, oh, do I do it in the morning, in the evening, in the evening? All the time we have to do dhikr of Allah. All day long, all night long. Every moment, Allah, 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 Allah. You're not on the tongue, in the heart, every time the qalb should be reciting, not a second should pass. Sleeping, waking up, sitting, walking. In the dunya, this is such a big wazifa, prescription of dhikr that we have not understood. Allah says, I am with you all the time, if you remember me. And if Allah is with us, and we're working in the world, like I told you the examples of Hazrat, we are the same. The people who had the special association with Allah, they are doing the same things as us in the world. So, what is the difference between us and their lives? They're in their work, their fikr, their worry, their issues, their problems, they don't have an issue with that. They don't have problems with that. Rather, in their heart, they have the kingdom of the remembrance. They are kings, they are leaders, and they are focused on their work, alhamdulillah. And the wealth that they attain due to that is qalb mutma'innah, that their qalb has no worry inside. Yes, they run around in the world to solve all the world issues, but they have no problem in their heart. So the work that they're doing, like we're doing this and all the things that we do, so this, they're living in the world, they're living the physical life just like we are. Everything they do the same, but their internal state is such that they have a special unique closeness with Allah. Just like I gave the example of Bukhari Sharif, Hazrat Ibn Hajar rahmatullahi was doing the work writing the Sharh of Bukhari Sharif, but it wasn't him writing, his pen he was writing with his hand, but Allah Ta'ala was telling him, Allah, 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 Allah. He was doing dhikr, Allah drove him, Allah gave him the inspiration to write the commentary of Bukhari Sharif. Big thing. So my brothers, as I said, that when an enlightened hadith, when we hear it, when we listen to the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it reaches to us, then first point that comes is that the light comes into that, doesn't it? Has it not come? Yes, it does. The light has come. That what has my aqa, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stated, that the heart becomes full of the light. Thawab is separate. Secondly, and then thirdly, that you get taqwa, strengthening of the desire to practice. So haven't we got taqwa now? That we need to try a bit better. When you're sitting down, let's do Allah, Allah, Allah. What difference does it make? So in this, Shaitan and nafs, they are always trying to overwhelm us. And the work of shaitan and nafs is to disturb our routine. And shaitan gives da'wah. He gives dirty, impure da'wah. He gives the invitation to bad things, impure things. Little small whispering, large whispering. He looks at the human being and then, what is this person's weak point? How do I make this person distressed? So one person is very pure and clean. So he'll show him something dirty, naked women, or attraction of the world, or big sins. And he'll say, oh, I'm clean and pure. And then he gets a distress. That look, he sees someone impure, he says, doesn't matter, he's enjoying himself, I can. But the person who's clean and pure, shaitan will instill whisper into his ear and try to spoil that person. Divert that person. So when these thoughts start to come, girls, women, attraction, pictures, and bad thoughts, then what should you do? He said, you say, look, I do dhikr with Hazrat, so much light comes in my heart and I've heard all this. What's happening here? So shaitan laughed at that time. Look at this man, he's gone mad now. Ah, he's disturbed now. I've made him, I've spoilt him. And he's doing dhikr, but he's still not got the satisfaction. So he says, oh, look, the effect of the noor of the deen has come out of him. Ah, I'll show him more to spoil him more. Because thoughts, you cannot control the thoughts. You can only control the thoughts when shaitan perishes, and that will be the day of judgment. So these things, those whispering, the evil factors and forces. So how many times, how many thoughts come? 1,000 times? 10,000 times? 1,000,000 times or 10,000,000 times? Even if 10,000,000 thoughts come into your mind, there will be no loss. There will be no loss. The deen will help us. This is your status telling you that you are so pure that I'm throwing dirt to you, says shaitan. If you see someone clean, with clean clothes, walking out in the world, and somebody is pestering him, the enemy, what will he throw onto that person? Dirty things, mud, so his clothes get dirty and black. Same way shaitan says, oh, look, this pure individual, he's doing dhikr of Allah, he's got taqwa, he's close to Allah, and mashallah, he's got ilm, he's got knowledge, he's got all of the capacity, he's clean, let me throw dirt on him. Let me throw onto him the attraction of the woman. Then the person should understand that I am not a loser. I'm not going to lose. I'm not going to perish. I'm first class following the path. Let me stay steadfast on my dhikr. I focus to Allah. I turn to Allah. And Allah Ta'ala says there are two things here that do dua for Allah, to Allah, that Allah keep me pure. Allah, Allah purify my thoughts. Allah, I'm fine. I'm totally following your path. Like my Shaykh gave me the dhikr, 1,000, 10,000. I am steadfast in that. But I want a bit more enjoyment. That when dirty thoughts come, then increase your dhikr. Just like he's trying to put the current into you, then you give the return current to shaitan. Return current and the jolt. He should get a jolt. He gives you whispering of the dirt, of the impurity. You say, okay, I'll do 15, 20, I'll do more, 30, 14, he'll run away. And your thawab will increase. So think of one thing here. In this path, do not be scared of the whispering, of the thoughts, of the evil thoughts, of the bad thoughts. Obviously, if you implement those thoughts, then you've come out. If you see a picture of a naked woman, then you go and seek it and look for that person, then you're out. Then you're looking for the sin. So if you're doing dhikr and the thoughts are coming, you're sitting in maraqabah and all of the evil thoughts are coming and you're trying to do dhikr and the picture, the old thoughts and images are coming, let them carry on. Let it carry on, and you carry on with your physical work. As it stated, the shaitan's doing his work, you carry on with your work. You carry on in your work. What difficulty do you have? If he's doing his work, let him carry on with his work. He's trying to attack you. What difficulty is there for you? You have to do the opposite force to him, to rebut him. And your thawab is not reducing, and Allah's not far from you. Allah Ta'ala's promise, you do my dhikr, and I'm with you. You do my dhikr, and I'm with you. So today, the question is, Allah Ta'ala said, I'm with you. So shaitan is also said, this is dunya. This is the world. Allah said, this dunya, I've given him power, he can run after you. I've given him permission, but you should have aqal, O my servant. You've heard the hadith, the Quds, you've read it. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm with you. So he's doing his work, you do your work. You will attain everything from my association, my closeness. Allah says, do not fear. Do not fear. Just one thing remember, do not leave the path. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't leave the path. But the path Allah Ta'ala has given you, Naqshbandi dhikr sketch, for the sake of Allah, do not leave this. What is it? Doesn't matter, you think this is lost. Even if I say, go away, run away, even then run after me. Don't leave this silsila. Because apart from this silsila, there's no path that can take us to our destination. I tell you the truth there. You want to get sunnah, you get it from this path. You want Quran, you get it from this path. You want ilm, you get it from this path. You want amal practice, you get it from this path. You want Allah, you'll get it from this path. This path of dhikr from the Naqshbandi silsila. May Allah give me and you the tawfiq. Ameen. That we can do amal on this. Ameen.